Matthew 4, Jesus calls his disciples by saying, I will make you fishers of people. Well, I hope you've noticed how that theme of fish and fishing has been reflected so far in the liturgy today. That lovely call to worship, this little fish of mine, it's one of my favorites. And then the sentences from Isaiah, the people who walked in darkness have gone fishing. Our processional hymn, Arise, your fishing gear has come. That always inspires me. And really, all the songs thus far, I want to walk as a child who can fish, and the psalm, the Lord is my fishing instructor and my salvation. It's beautiful stuff. I trust you've been inspired, as I have been. Now, of course, what that points out is that there has actually been no reference at all thus far in our liturgy to fishing or fish. And as we continue after the sermon, there will be no fish liturgy further on in the service either. So far, the liturgy has not been about fish, but about light, this little light of mine arising to greet the light of God, walking as children of the light. It's partly because this is the season of Epiphany, God's light for us and for all, but it's also because the image of light is very present in the scripture passages for today. The prophet Isaiah, the light shines in a light shining to those in darkness. The psalm, the Lord is my light. And in Matthew, that Isaiah passage reflected onto Jesus as the fulfillment of God's promise, God's light dawning. There's lots of light, and then in Matthew, some fishers and fish too. But you will be hard-pressed in those hymnals, in those pews, to find any songs about fish. We looked this week, right? We couldn't find any fish songs anywhere. The only one I know is from my childhood, I Will Make You Fishers of Men. I won't sing it because it's been stuck in my head all week, and if I sing it, it'll be stuck in your head too. I will make you fish, right? All right, now you've got it too. Light is a popular image in Scripture. Fish, fishers, not so much. And I have to acknowledge that this reflects my personal preference about those images, my preference for light over fish. Given my druthers, I would just ignore this part of the passage in which Jesus offers the call, I will make you fishers of people. I don't like the image. And in fact, I discovered this week, in my 30-ish years of preaching, I cannot find a single sermon on this fishers of people story. It's in Matthew and Mark and Luke, and I haven't touched it in any of those places once, ever. That's no accident, given my dislike for the image, but it does bother me a little. I'm supposed to like what Jesus says, right? It's one of the things they teach you in seminary. Don't disagree with what Jesus says. That's been my conundrum with this passage for the last 30 years, for this last week. But then my colleague, Pastor Jill, where is she? She saved the day for me this week. I told her on Tuesday that I was determined to preach on this terrible image. That was an inspiring place to start from, right? And after first expressing some good pastoral empathy to me, she shared a very interesting commentary with me about this passage. And when I read it, my sermon was all set. So thank you, Pastor Jill. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you why I haven't liked what Jesus is saying in this passage with fishers and fish. Then I'm going to tell you about another way of thinking about what Jesus is saying here. That's the material I got from Pastor Jill. And then, not surprisingly, I'm going to talk about light too, because I love that image. Typically, this story, this fishing image, is heard as a story about evangelism, bringing others to God, to Jesus. Evangelism understood as going out to get more followers for Jesus. So how it would go is that these disciples are told to leave their unimportant jobs as fishermen because now they are called to the holy work of getting more people to follow Jesus. And if you are going to be holy, and you're supposed to want to be holy, then that is what you will do too. You will follow the call of Jesus to cast your net and catch more Christians. All right, you ready to go fishing? Now, I know this image bothers me partly because of just all I can think of is fishing hooks and fishing nets. It's not a good image. But it bothers me more deeply theologically too. Leaving aside if this is the kind of evangelism that Jesus meant with that image then, I have an issue with that kind of evangelism now. Going out to get more people in as the primary call of faith places the church on a troublesome path, a path that leads to a wall, I think. A faith that is about who is in and who is out, who is good, who is bad, who is for us, who is against us. And over time, such a faith makes the church into a place that presents itself as the right place, the only place to be, here in our net. So we better keep on fishing to get more of those wrong people out there made right in here. That is a script that is deeply embedded into Christianity, and I think it's a script that needs to be thrown out. What? I don't want people to believe in God? I don't want them to follow Jesus? How can I be against such a thing? But that's asking the wrong question. The question to start from is, how in our time are we to follow Jesus? And it simply doesn't fit in our world to use the image of God on our side, getting everyone into our net. Our Christian history has too much complicity with unfaithful ways for that to work for us. Our world has too much complexity about how people experience faith. Our world requires connection and compassion in ways that are beyond counting the fish that are in our net. A different image, a different way is needed than getting people in the right net. So instead, how about the image of fishing? Let's try this story again. Consider this as a different way to understand this story of Jesus calling his disciples, following them to be fishers of people. Because it turns out being a fisherman wasn't such an easy job back then. Not just because it was hard work, which it was, but because that had become part of the system of oppression for the Roman Empire in that time. What scholars tell us is that King Herod was using those Galilee fishermen to line his pockets with gold. The catch no longer being used for needed food for the people there, but sent away to make money for Herod. Peter and Andrew, James and John, they were dealing with an oppressive structure that trapped them in a system of injustice. Jesus sees them. Follow me, I will make you fish for people. And they all leave immediately and follow. What might that calling have meant for them when they heard that from Jesus? What about a calling of freedom from the nets of injustice that they were caught in? What about a call to fish for a different way of life? A call that casts a net to encompass real life for all people? To go out to the poor and the powerless, and to challenge the privileged and the powerful. That commentary that Pastor Jill gave me says, turns out there are some big fish to catch out there if justice is to be brought about. And that's what Jesus calls them to do. Really puts that whole fishing idea in a new light, you could say. I mean, I can't say it's ever going to be my favorite image, but it challenges me not to stuck on my own assumptions about what something means, to listen for new currents of meaning. And if you're skeptical at all about that fishing call as a call to justice and freedom, which maybe I wonder too, is there some exegetical gymnastics going on here? Look at the context of this passage about light. Isaiah's words of light in darkness, light from God dawning, are spoken to a people in captivity and oppression. Isaiah's concern, God's concern, isn't for saving their souls, but for their freedom, for their well-being, for justice. Breaking the rod, the oppression of justice, Isaiah says. That's the image of light that Matthew uses to shape this story of fish and fishers, a call to join with God who brings the light of freedom and justice to those in despair. when you see Matthew using Isaiah as the setting for this story, it seems that a message of freedom and justice is the only way to hear this Fisher story at all. And to top it all off, as someone who loves that image of light, not fishers, turns out this fish story makes me rethink something about light, too. I mean, you could say light is nice, right? Light is luminous and warm and inviting. The light of God, the light of faith, a passive light. You can come and join us here in the light. Here we are. The light helps me, and you're welcome to come and share in it if you wish. Or what of a different view of light? Light that is bright. Light that exposes and reveals what has been unseen or hidden. Light that reveals and exposes me, my own complicity in injustice. Light that is active, that is brought out to find and guide. Light that goes to the darkness. Light that goes to places in need in our world. A light that is not mild, but kinetic and piercing. A light that is not white, but that is brown and black and rainbow. A light that goes across all spectrums, seen and unseen. It's kind of fun, kind of freeing, kind of challenging, kind of costly to realize all that can be present in that image of light once you go fishing for a little more in the image. Jesus is the light of the world, and the world is out there, not in here. We receive an image of light that calls us into God's world to meet God's light dawning for justice and freedom. When we get to the closing hymn in our liturgy, no surprise, you won't find any fish images in it. I don't expect any of those songs to be written soon. But of course, it does have a light image in it from night to day. But really, it expresses some of what it is to draw together those images of light and fishers that speak to us the calling that our Lord Jesus gives to us. We will sing, "Go to the world to renew life's worth, to live out God's grace, to struggle, bless, and pray as we follow Christ's own way." And now, when I say that sounds fishy to me, I mean that as a good thing. Thanks be to God. Amen.